Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of The Weed Agency, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you as usual, although the good is not really that good, except for the fact that, once again, we're being proven right on all the headaches associated with the president's health care law. This coming to us from Robert Pear at the New York Times. The lead, the Obama administration is contacting hundreds of thousands of people with subsidized health insurance to resolve questions about their eligibility, as consumer advocates express concern that many will be required to repay some or all of the subsidies. Of the 8 million people who signed up for private health plans through insurance exchanges under the new health care law, 2 million reported personal information that differed from data in government records, according to federal officials and Serco, the company hired to resolve such inconsistencies. So I'm sure that contractor is right on the ball, Jim. But, you know, this was supposed to be the great selling point that, you know, yeah, the premiums and the deductibles are going to be higher here, at least for a little bit, even though that's not what we told you was going to happen. But hey, we've got these subsidies that'll defray the costs, and it won't be that much different, if at all.
All right, let's assume, for the sake of argument, that some percentage of these erroneous folks are you know, honest mistake, that, you know, some data wasn't transferred correctly or something like that, a series of innocent mistakes, and they work it out. Fine. Now, when you report your income to the government for the purposes of calculating your subsidy, it probably has to match what's on your tax return. And more importantly, perhaps, what your employer is reporting what your income was and things like that. I wouldn't even say this is necessarily a good martini, but I think it would say this is a realistic martini. Reality is coming due for Obamacare. If you qualify for the subsidies, terrific. But a lot of people who seem to think that they qualify for the subsidies don't. And, you know, a lot of people think of themselves as you know, really having a hard time getting by and needing a little extra help. The government's definition of that may not match yours. And if your income does not match what theirs is, you have to pay it back. The way this will end up rebounding in favor for those of us who are not fans of Obamacare is that, look, the number for Obamacare has been pretty lousy, pretty consistently. However, some portion of that, you know, 30-some, 40-some percent who are still willing to give it a thumbs up probably were, you know, collecting subsidies and thought that they were getting a good deal and are now going to get notice that actually, no, you're not getting such a good deal. You have to pay that money back and you're going to have to pay more. Unsurprisingly, this is not going to go well, and they're going to be very cranky about this. And my guess is you'll see a slight slump in the numbers for Obamacare in the coming weeks and months. Although it's worth noting, this is now clearly a stand-in for what you think of the president, and there are certain folks who are probably going to be paying more or not getting a subsidy that they thought they were, who will still say they like it because they realize that once they admit they don't like it, then their guy they love made a mistake, that the policy is a bad idea, and that it really can't work. It's something they've spent years of their life defending isn't as good as they said it was. And I think for some people, they won't be able to overcome that cognitive dissonance. So watching them run around in circles insisting that they love paying more will be a kind of a fun exercise in the coming months.
All right, on to the bad martini. And this one actually broke Friday afternoon. Surprise, surprise. The IRS telling Congress Friday that it has lost, Jim, it's lost a trove of emails to and from Lois Lerner, a central figure in the agency's Tea Party controversy, sparking outrage from congressional investigators who have been probing the agency for more than a year. That report from FoxNews.com. So, Jim, these emails, of course, have been subpoenaed. Lois Lerner was in charge of the exempt office at the IRS. She's the one who we believe has been kind of orchestrating the extra scrutiny, if not harassment, of conservative-leaning groups. She's pled the fifth, so that would suggest she's got some sort of involvement in all of this. And now all the emails that are supposed to be helping congressional investigators figure out exactly what she did and didn't do mysteriously vanished. I think the word that most conservatives had on Friday afternoon on social media is not utterable on this podcast.
Perhaps if you look at the White House, it'll show up on that table next to Hillary's Rose Law Firm records. Disappeared during the Clinton presidency. Also, they may have been, Rosemary Woods may have recorded those emails. It was the old same tape recorder system they used back in the Nixon days. One of the printable responses we can put from Friday afternoon was that the administration isn't even trying anymore. They don't care if it's plausible or not. They're not going to cooperate. And if they have to destroy, you know, I think it was Christina Ribaldi who made the very astute observation. Let me get this straight. Every tweet I make is sent to the Library of Congress for archive through Twitter. but the IRS can't find its emails. One of the Texas congressmen said, well, if the IRS says it can't find the emails, can't we just ask the NSA for the backups? It's good we can laugh about this, and you know, like, sometimes it's kind of what you have to, but I think it's very clear. Like, Ron Fournier, formerly of the AP, now with National Journal, also known as the last mainstream media reporter paying attention, is looking at this and saying, look, the administration just offered an extremely implausible excuse as to why evidence that could, you know, it could be exculpatory evidence. You'd think they'd be really, really interested after 2 years of you know, saying they would turn it into Congress, now is claiming that it got erased and they can't recover it. You know, this is exactly what you'd see from a Nixon. This is exactly what you see when there is blatant corruption and they don't want to get caught. And most of the media is going to yawn at this and then say, you know, boy, wasn't Hillary's book signing at Costco amazing? We'll see if this gets the attention it deserves. But my sneaking suspicion is that the administration really has reached a point where they can say whatever they want, they can do whatever they want, and most of the media isn't going to call them on it. Or even if they do call them on it, there isn't sufficient consequence to deter them from doing more of it. And maybe that's a good segue to our third and crazy martini.
Yeah, it's crazy to say the least. Obviously, the story that's literally and journalistically been blowing up over the last few days has been the situation in Iraq. You've got this radical arm of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, as it's called, Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. They've conquered a lot of the Anbar province and northern Iraq, now sweeping down towards Baghdad. They're basically in the outskirts at this point. We just found out today that they conquered another city up in the northwestern part of the country where they reinvigorated, supposedly, Iraqi military, was trying to show that they were planning to vigorously defend the country. They lost there. The U.S. is evacuating at least a significant portion of our embassy. We're bringing in more elite Marines to guard the installation. You got Iranian troops pouring in. And the President of the United States left Washington on Friday before he hopped on the helicopter, basically telling reporters, hey, we're going to keep thinking about what we might want to do here, with no official policy articulated as of yet. The president spent a lot of time this weekend in California playing golf and talking about such critical topics as this at the commencement at UC Irvine.
When President Kennedy set us on a course for the moon, there were a number of people who made a serious case that it wouldn't be worth it. It was going to be too expensive. It was going to be too hard. It would take too long. But nobody ignored the science. I don't remember anybody saying that the moon wasn't there or that it was made of cheese.
In case you couldn't figure out, just like you did at West Point, the president's saying that climate change is the biggest deal here, Jim. So clearly the president's got his eyes on the ball here.
It's interesting. The left used to call themselves the reality-based community. What we kind of have is this air of unreality around the president and what he's focusing upon, what he's speaking upon. He continues his heavy rotation of fundraisers. He managed to get in 18 holes of golf this weekend. The attitude seems to be as long as a president acts like this isn't a crisis, the American public will act like it's not a crisis, and thus somehow we will escape the consequences of this being a crisis. And you see this on front after front. You know, really awful things happen at the VA, and his attitude is, I'm reviewing it, I'm looking at it, we're treating it very seriously, nothing happens for a couple of days, it turns into an actual debacle in which the problem is every bit as widespread as we thought it was. And then he comes out and he says, well, I accept Shinseki's resignation, but he really was a great guy who really cared about veterans. I understand recently the Veterans Affairs Twitter feed talked about the importance of saving our oceans. I guess the idea is that veterans swim in oceans at some point, and that's how this is a responsibility of the VA. And what it is that, you know, the administration knows that if you care about whether you can afford your insurance that you're now required to buy under Obamacare, if you're worried about finding a job, wage growth, any of that kind of stuff, you're you know, kind of SOL. Obviously, the world is a mess over there, over in Iraq. Obviously, Syria is a bloodbath. Russia has moved into Ukraine, took over Crimea. And, you know, as far as the administration is concerned, Russia's fixed. Like, that problem is solved. To them, the really big priorities are minimum wage hike, global warming, equal pay for equal work, and they will seek out new issues. Chris McDaniel says something silly in Mississippi. You can watch. That will turn into – he will get Todd Akinized, and it will turn into a major issue that must be addressed on a national scale. Also, I should point out immigration reform / amnesty, it continues to be part of the president's priorities, even though we have this tidal wave of unaccompanied children coming across the border and creating a humanitarian crisis. All of these are like major issues. The president of the United States has every – you know, really ought to be doing something about – and instead, he's going off and trying to hit, you know, climate change denialists as the great, you know, menace of our time. we have a president that is completely detached from the way life is actually being lived out here in the rest of the country. What's fascinating, I don't know if there's any necessarily change we can expect in the next couple of years. That I think it's safe to say that, you know, when the president says on Friday afternoon, the situation in Iraq is changing quickly, we're going to take a few days to look at our options. Well, by the time you decide something, the circumstance may have changed completely. You know, I'm glad we're finally getting our non-essential personnel out of the embassy in Baghdad. You got to wonder at what point we start trying to evacuate the essential personnel. And what do we do if the Iraqi government collapses? Because as much as we may not like Maliki, and he's got plenty of legitimate gripes with him, ISIS running Iraq is a worse situation for us. And yet this administration seems to move at a glacial pace. And so we kind of have this sense of like a president detached from what traditionally the top presidential priorities are. But at some point in the coming week, I bet you he'll go to another fundraiser. I guess we should be pleased that he hasn't squeezed in another appearance on Between Two Ferns, Greg, that he's decided that may not be appropriate for the moment here. This is an administration that seems it can kind of just close its eyes and whistle past the graveyard and kind of will its way through crises. And this is not the case at all. These problems blow up really big. I mean, remember Bergdahl? Wasn't that like really big news, you know, not too long ago? Each new crisis gets replaced with another crisis. And somehow the president skates through here. And he really seems to think that as long as he doesn't act like he's made any terrible mistake, the American people won't think that he's made a big mistake. The polling does not quite support that theory, although it's not as bad as I think some of his critics think it ought to be. So maybe we're just going to coast on like this until the midterms, until there's some sort of message from the heartland that comes to the president and says, no, you're not doing a good enough job. You're not doing okay. We have a lot of messes on a lot of fronts, and you got to get off the golf course and off the fundraising circuit and focus on doing the job that you insisted you alone had the ability to handle. So anyway, there's my rant for the Monday.
Jim, what an optimistic start to the week. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.